Grace, mercy, and peace to you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our summer sermon series today on our new identity God gave us in Jesus Christ. Remember our banner over here? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5. So that means that when you came into Jesus, when you believed in him and were baptized, you became a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. You have a new identity. And so far, we've talked about how God has made us soldiers of Christ and more than conquerors, royal priests, and saints. And today, I'd like to look with you at another aspect of our new identity that God's given us in Jesus Christ, namely, that God has made us children of God through Christ. Do you know that Christians are called children of God in the Bible? Let's take a look at a couple of examples. One day a woman had a hemorrhage. She was losing blood, 12 years. She came up and touched Jesus, and she was instantly healed. And then Jesus says to her in John 8:48, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Daughter, he calls her his daughter. We can also look at Ephesians chapter 1. It says here that God, he destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ. He destined us in love for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Do you think of yourself as a son or as a daughter of God through Jesus Christ? Well, so the scripture says. Another one here, 1 John chapter 3, John the Apostle writes this. He says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be," in other words, when we grow up, when he comes, "but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So Christians are called children of God in the Bible. Do you believe and do you know that you are a child of God today, his own son and daughter through Jesus Christ? For the old is gone, the new has come. This is your new identity in Christ. But today I want to ask this question. How intimate and close, then, of a relationship does God want with us as our Father and we as his children? How close does he really want us to be with him as we go through life? What should our relationship with him be like? Well, let's take a look. Should it be near or far? And how close is he really to you, your God? Well, let's take a look. Today we're talking about the children of God. How close and intimate should we be and are we to be with him? Well, the first question I want to ask then is this. Who's a child of God? Who are the children of the Lord? Well, Paul was once preaching in Athens. In Acts chapter 17, he was preaching to non-Christians. He was preaching to unbelievers. And let's open up to there, Acts chapter 17. He speaks to them and says, "And he, God, made from one," in other words, from Adam, "every nation of men to live on the face of all the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation." God made everybody, right? "That they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, etc." So, what do we learn from that? God made everybody. Therefore, also, he's not far from each one of us, and we are all his offspring, as Paul says here. Even to unbelievers and non-Christians, in a sense, they are called children of God, in the large sense of that term. Even though they don't acknowledge it. Even though people go through their days not acknowledging that God even exists, yet he is their creator and, in a sense, their father, for he made them. And many people in the world think that because of this, that they have a close and an intimate relationship with God. But in Scripture, we also know that not all people are children of God with a capital C. Children, sons, and daughters of the King. For take this example from Vacation Bible School. God made Adam and Eve, right? Man, you guys got to come to Vacation Bible School. You would have learned that this week, you know that? Adam and Eve were children of God because God made them, but because they sinned, because they disobeyed, they wandered far, far away from God in their hearts, such that when God came through the garden, he said, "Where are you, Adam? Where is your heart? You're far from me." And indeed, because of their sin, they were driven out of the garden, far away from God's presence, though he was still with them, yet they were far away on account of sin. And the Bible says, all the people in the world that God made, his children, his offspring, on account of sin, are far, far away from God. Hear what God said to his people in the Old Testament days. In Isaiah, he speaks to his own chosen, his own sons and daughters of Israel. He says, "Sons have I reared up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not understand." They were God's children, but they'd wandered away. And then God says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged." That word in the Greek, estranged, Hebrew, is zur, which means foreign. They're foreigners, they're strangers. They are a people far away. And so on account of sin, people in the world are far, far, far away from God. And Peter even says of them in 2 Peter 2, they have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. And the Bible says that all people in the world, on account of sin, apart from Christ, are children of wrath. And so were we. We can take a look at that. It says it right here in the Bible. Ephesians 2 says, "And you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following this course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Is that a title you want? Child of wrath? But on account of sin, that is the title God, the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit, gives to people who are in their sin. And most people don't even know this, right? You go up to any person on the street. Let's just say someone believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ. You ask them how their relationship with God is, and they say, "Oh, God and I are close." It's like the story of the prodigal son. A person comes and squanders his inheritance in a faraway country. He's gone far away from God, but he doesn't even realize it because he's still enjoying the goods of the pleasures of life. It's not until he gets to a very broken place in his life that he realizes how far, far away he's been from God. And it's sin that makes this great separation between us and God and us, each other. Think about how sin is the great separator. You can have two brothers or two friends who enjoy each other. One day, sin gets into their relationship, and what happens to them? It breaks them apart, and they're driven far away from each other. Take a husband and wife, a marriage. If sin gets into that marriage and it's not resolved and forgiven, what happens to the marriage? The husband and wife may still share the same bed, but they are now far distant from one another in their hearts. They can hardly even look at each other. Take a parent and a child. This happens all the time. If sin gets into that relationship, they may still live under the same roof, and yet they can't even talk to one another because sin separates and it drives people away. It makes a great distance between people and relationships. And if that's the case amongst men, amongst people, how much more in our relationship with the Holy God? It makes a separation, a distance between us and the God who is so pure as to not even behold evil, as Habakkuk says. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what a dreadful distance there is between God and men. So how far away are people, the children of wrath, from God? Well, the answer is further than they know. Remember that prodigal son? He went into a far, far country. He didn't even think about how far away he was from his father. I'm enjoying the good life. And I met a man recently I talked with, tried to share Christ with. He said, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. But I'm a good person. I enjoy life. I feel great. He didn't feel any loneliness. He didn't feel any depression not knowing God. Why? Because like the prodigal son, he was still enjoying his inheritance. He'd not yet hit rock bottom. He didn't know. He doesn't know yet how far, far away he is from God. And though this man said he never gives thanks to God, never acknowledges God in anything, never thinks on the giver of all good things, heck, he doesn't even believe in him. The good news, God thinks on him. He says in Jeremiah, God says to his wandering people, can a maiden forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. God thinks on people. Even people who are far away from him, he's near, yet they are far away from him on account of sin. And as a result, they're still under the curse. They're still under the devil. They're still under sin. They're still under condemnation. For the Bible says, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Why? Because he's still in his sins, and how far away they are. The children of wrath, for a day is coming when God will judge the world, a day of reckoning, and on that day it will be seen how very far away they are from God. It will be clear. And you know what? We were all very far, far away at one time. But what's God done for us? He's come near. He's come near seeking you. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, to come near to you, even to be in you. That's God's purpose. And Naomi, once when she was a little girl, about 3 years old when we were living up in Wisconsin, ran away from us at a baseball game, a little local baseball game at night. And she's just running, and she heard me calling after her. And she just ran anyway. She said later, she didn't even know why she did it. She just ran. And she thought, what would it be like to be off on my own? Until she saw the dark woods of Wisconsin, and she slowed down a bit. Well, while she slowed down a bit, her daddy was running after her. Because even though I was a little angry she was not coming, I love her so greatly. I tell you, I love my daughter. I will lay down my life for my daughter. I love my daughter. Everything. And so I ran after her and I caught her. And I was angry that she'd run away, but she came back to know that she's in love and security and blessing with me. I love her everything. And so God ran after you when you were running from him. A Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And remember, what is it that separates us? What is it that makes us so far away from God? It's sin. That's what makes such distance and division and brings us into a far country. The one thing that brings us back, though, together in any relationship is forgiveness. Sin separates. Sin separates. Forgiveness brings back together. Forgiveness brings back together. And so if this is the rift, this is how it happened. God came to bring us near through the cross, through the forgiveness that Jesus came to give us there. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, says Peter, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you are all straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Every one of us has run away from God through sin. Anytime we sin, we do. Just like when Naomi was little, she ran and saw those dark woods, but the Father has run after you. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That he might do what? Does that sound like near or far? Near. For in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. If sin separates, what's forgiveness do? Brings back together again. That's what God's done for you. Is he near or far from you, children of God? Through forgiveness, your sins are gone, and we can draw near to God through Christ and he to us, because the sin which separates us has been removed. Not that we have we have a perfect fellowship with him, not because we never sin, but because our sins are carried far, far away. How near are you to God then? How near is God to you today? Well, the question you need to ask is, how far away from me are my sins? Right? If your sins are far away, he's near. How near is he? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And how far does he take them away? God tells us, Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Isn't that beautiful? It's a picture of the cross. From the east to the west. That's how far, and that's how near he is. So, how do we go from being children of wrath to children of God? The answer is very simple, and God tells us right here in the scriptures, says the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. That's Jesus. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. They rejected him. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, how do you become a child of God? Oh, I want to try. I can do it. No. God's will. He birthed you. He brought you. He gave you faith. He's baptized you. You've believed in him. You are children of God. Can you say, I'm a son of God? Men? How about if you're a woman here? Can you say, I am a daughter of God? You are a child of God. That's what the scripture says is your new identity. And how do you know? How do I know I'm a child of God? Well, have you believed in him? Scripture says, all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. God doesn't lie. Be sure. Have you been baptized into him? Peter says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, to all that are far off, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. You are far off, and you've been brought near in baptism, and you've been given the Holy Spirit. Do you ever, in your prayers, cry out to God, say, Father, and call him Father? Well, Paul says in Romans 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. When you're a child of God, you have a great inheritance. When I die, Naomi gets to have an inheritance of at least $187. When Christ died and we are united with him, we have an inheritance of all things. God gives to his children everything he has. Just like Naomi will have all that I have. God help you, Naomi. Do you seek to follow Jesus and to do what is right, even though you wrestle with sin and have trouble with that? Well, John, the apostle, says, "By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. When we seek good, that's more evidence for you, to confirm you, even though we wrestle with sin." And do you know that God has destined you for this? He knew your name before he created the world. It says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world," says Paul in Ephesians. "He destined us in love for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, even before he founded this world." And that's what it is to be a child of God with a capital C. And God wants you to know the joy and the confidence of this relationship with him today. So, question is, how close do you feel to God today? And how close are you really? I'll bet you those two are not the same answer. You might feel today like you're far away from God, like he's hiding himself from you. He cares about you, but maybe he's a little bit apart from you. But you know what? The reality is you go on the word and the promise rather than your feelings. Why do you let your feelings rule your heart or rule your life? Why don't you let the word of God rule your feelings? And the feelings will follow the word. What does the word say? It says he dwells in you. How much closer can he get? John chapter 14, Jesus answered, "If a man loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God has made his home inside you. You can't get away from him. As close as Christ is to God, so close are you to God, for you are in Christ. How close is Jesus? He is one with the Father. If you're in Christ, you are one with the Father. You are united with him through faith. Do you know he knows everything about you? He watches your ways. He knows every word that's on your tongue before you even mention it. I keep a little folder of Naomi's sayings, especially when she was really younger. She had a whole bunch of hootin' funny sayings. I'll just share a couple of them here. One's when she was 3 years old. She says, "I want a horse." Beth says, "You can't have a horse because our backyard doesn't have a fence." Naomi says, "I'll be praying for that." Once when we were flying from Wisconsin to St. Louis, she was looking out the plane's window. We wanted her to get some sleep, so we closed that little shade over the window. She says, "Don't turn off the movie." Later on in 2003, when she was 3 years old, we were looking up at some dandelions, and Naomi called them Daniel's lions. Once she made her bed when she was about 3 or 4 with all stuffed animals, actually, I think she was 4, bowing down to a heart in the center. And she says, "That's God's heart. So it's okay. They're all bowing down to the right thing." We wrote this down. And March 21st, 2005, I even have the date for this. We were laying in bed, Naomi and I, and she says, "I can't wait to see God." And when he comes, you know what I'll ask him? I said, "What, Naomi?" She said, "I'll say, God, how many hairs do I have on my head?" These things are precious to me. You know why? And 1,000 more. Because she's my daughter. I love my daughter with all my heart. Everything she does, even her mistakes, even her sins, I'm there. On my heart, I can feel tears want to come up in my eye. And I'm a sinful man. And God is the righteous Father. How much more does he love you, his children? He says, "I know everything about you. I know the hairs on your head," Luke 12, verse 7. "Each word that is on your tongue, I know it before it's there," Psalm 139. Jeremiah 1, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Psalm 139, "I knit you together in your mother's womb." And we ought to respond like David, "How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." How close are you to God? You're adopted. You're co-heirs with Christ. He wants you to know that you're free. He said to Simon, "Simon, what do you think? From whom do the kings of the earth exact their toll or tribute? From their sons or from others?" He said, "From others. The sons don't pay taxes." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." He teaches us that he's not after us to get us to pay for our sins. He's not after you to find fault with you. He's not after you to condemn you. He's paid for everything. The sons are free. You don't pay the king taxes and tribute because he's your father and you're his sons. Your sins have been paid for at the cross by our Lord Jesus, who loved you, and you're protected by him. He wants you to know. Well, Naomi and I went swimming last year in the Keys, in Key Largo. And she dove in so bravely, and she swam down, and she came up and she said, "Oh, Dad, I saw this pretty little fish down there." I said, "Yeah, did you see that shark that just swam by you?" It was actually a nurse shark, so it wasn't dangerous, but it was about as big as she was. And she looked down, and she goes, "Whoa!" And then later on, I said to her, "If there were any danger, you know, I'd be between you and the shark." And I would. I'd get in between the two of us. She said, "I knew you would. That's why I felt safe." And a lady commented how brave Naomi was. It was because she knew her dad was with her and that her God was with her and would take care of her. And that's the same kind of confidence God wants you leaving the sanctuary today, knowing that he is so desperately in love with you that if there's any danger, he gets between you and the danger. And he's done that for us in death, through the cross. He got in between us and his own wrath, between us and hell, between us and condemnation, gets between us and the devil. And he says, "No one shall touch my child. He or she is the apple of my eye." And he's given us this promise: "Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Yes, I shall give you a name in my house better than sons and daughters," Isaiah chapter 56, says our Lord. So today, trust in him, lean on him, love him, because he is not far off. He's a God who is near. Even near to unbelievers, how much more to his own children, whom he has promised perfect and great things. And children you are, whom he will never leave nor forsake, but who may run into his arms. And may you be made glad today in the joy of his presence. Amen.